Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info.
Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
So, Nick Redfern, before we jump headlong into Rendlesham, Cash Landrum happening roughly the same time. Do you think also a government experiment?
Well, I actually do, and I'll tell you why for several reasons. One, you know, there's the angle that Cash Landrum, which occurred not too far from Houston, Texas in December 1980, occurred almost to the day, almost, with some of the events that occurred in Rendlesham Forest in England. Now, you know, what are the chances of having two of the most significant alleged UFO events of the 1980s both occurring within sort of a couple of days of each other, one in the US, one in the UK? And that, I think, is an important thing. But one of the other things, and whether people forget this or not, but the description of the craft is one that you don't see that often, namely a craft sort of moving through the sky with flames coming out of it. Another one I can think of is the Lonnie Zamora case of April 1964 in Socorro, New Mexico. But other sort of well-known cases, you know, of craft taken to the sky and blasting flames out of them, you don't get much like that, you know, in what I think are the genuine UFO cases, because I do believe there is a genuine phenomenon. You know, we don't really see much along the lines of a great deal of noise, you know, and sort of, you know, flames just sort of belching out of the craft, you know. And the fact that, you know, there were so many military vehicles, helicopters, on the scene very quickly leads me to think that they were probably getting ready, possibly, because they knew that things were starting to malfunction, or this was just a team of helicopters that were there in case something went wrong, and as it turned out, something did go wrong. So I think those issues, for me at least, are, if nothing else, they're strong pointers that this was some sort of military test, probably went wrong, and in some hazy way could have had some sort of connection with Rendlesham.
The problem, though, of course, is that when it comes to UFO sightings, we can do this for practically any case out there. We can come up with one of these reasons, if not a combination of reasons. We could say maybe the same thing for Kecksburg. You know, how do we differentiate then between the real thing? Because I don't think you're saying, when you're writing about these things, that there isn't such a thing as alien visitation. Yeah, I think you recognize that that's a distinct possibility. If not, believe it. I'm not really sure entirely where you stand on that, but I don't think you're writing that off as a possibility, but you are bringing in these alternatives to look at.
Well, yeah, I mean, I think the important thing to note is that over the years, you know, there's been thousands and thousands of UFO cases, and I'm sure thousands more where the people haven't reported it or talked about it, you know, perhaps other than to family and friends. But no, you're right. I fully do believe in the existence of a genuine UFO phenomenon. Now, whether it's extraterrestrial, interdimensional, multidimensional, something supernatural based, something we can't even understand, I honestly have to say I don't know what the real phenomenon is, but I do believe there is a genuine UFO phenomenon. But the important thing to note is, I think, not only is there the fabricated events, the secret experiments, I think what's happened is that government agencies, intelligence agencies, military operations, they've realized that, yes, there is this genuinely weird UFO phenomenon, but hang on, guys, we can hijack this real phenomenon and use it to our advantage by mimicking the real phenomenon. So it gets a little bit complicated, but that's what I think is going on, that there are two different phenomena. There's the military and the intelligence angle, and there's the genuine unknown UFO phenomenon, and the genuine one.
And they go so well hand in hand if they're wanting to keep the real thing secret that it just becomes this hall of mirrors where you can barely tell one from the other. And then along comes someone like yourself, and you'll find a thread to start pulling on. And then you see where it goes. And in your book, I look for where that is. And I'm right in chapter one, the object was hovering on legs. Now, there's a pretty good place to start pulling threads. Tell us how you kind of got onto these threads and where it led you.
Well, I mean, first and foremost, like I said, I was still a kid when Rendlesham happened in 1980, and so my first exposure to it all was the books, and the magazines that were around at that time, and like the English equivalents of like Fate, and UFO Universe, all those kind of magazines. And the more I got into it, I realized, well, clearly something happened, and the theory is that it was just the lights from a lighthouse was garbage, or it was just a bunch of guys drunk, because it was Christmas. I mean, that's just ridiculous. But the more I looked into it, as I said earlier, that there were these snippets of the secret experiment angle. So when I decided to sort of get further into this aspect of Rendlesham, one of the things I focused on, which is exactly what I did with the Roswell story and a lot of the other cases I get into when it could go either way, is that I look at the history of the area, the location, what goes on there, because so many people just focus on the UFO events. They don't focus on the surrounding aspects of the story, which may be connected. This is where one of the things that really clinched it for me, that we were looking at a secret experiment, and it's the location. And by the location, I don't mean Rendlesham Forest itself, but the immediate landscape in and around the area of the forest itself. And I'll explain what I mean by this. Rendlesham Forest has been Rendlesham Forest for a long, long time. Now, in 1935, the British government created something called the Tizard Committee, which was an early radar program. Radar was in its infancy then, and we're talking about early to mid-1930s. We needed to get a viable radar operation up and going in case Hitler does invade. A couple of years later, there was a very strange situation at a little village called Shingle Street. And Shingle Street is a little village near the east coast of England. There are rumors that have been going around for years that on one occasion late at night, a contingent of German military personnel tried to invade the east coast of England via Shingle Street. But the story is that they were all burned to death by some sort of strange technology. Then in the 1950s, we've got another top secret radar operation called Cobra Mist. And then in the 1980s and 90s, and an ongoing connection with Marconi, the Marconi Corporation. Now, the reason I mention all that is because the Tizard Committee, the Cobra Mist operation, this weird experiment at Shingle Street that supposedly set all the German troops on fire, the Marconi facilities, all of these were less than 11 miles from Rendlesham Forest. All those facilities where all those operations work from were literally less than 11 miles, 10 miles from the woods themselves. In other words, Rendlesham Forest isn't just, any random forest, nor is the locations and the facilities that exist there and have existed there. The whole place has been a hotbed for top secret experimentation going back to 1935 with the Tizard Committee. So my view is, when I started looking into this, well, hang on a minute, why aren't people really making a big thing about this? That the whole area, has been this, as I said, a hotbed for weird scientific operations. Haven't people thought there could be a connection? And that's when I began to think, well, maybe they just don't care.
I'll tell you, let's do the break here now, and then we'll continue with that.
Okay.
We've got much more to come with Nick, Gene, and Randall. You're in
the Paracast.
As you know, neighbors, web hosting can be pretty cheap, but not all hosting is the same. DreamHost wins best of awards year after year. You get unlimited disk space, unlimited bandwidth, and even the low-cost plans put your sites on high-performance SSDs. Want to know more about what DreamHost has to offer? Go to technightowl.com/host. Once again, that's technightowl.com/host.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there is The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, R-O-C-K-O-I-D-S.com.
This is a pandemic survival alert and the most time-sensitive messages you will hear this year. You still have time to plant a one-acre crisis garden and secure a supply of your own nutrient-dense food. But time is running out, and it's one deadline you don't want to miss. Who should plant a crisis garden? Individuals, families, churches, communities, anyone or any group that sees hard times ahead. Let's face it, even the mainline media is talking about food supply disruptions and the growing number of grocery store workers who are becoming sick. But there's more. Meat packing plants are closing, mile-long lines at food pantries, and more farmers now in financial trouble. The truth is, growing nutrient-dense vegetables this summer may be the single most important thing you do. Go to SurvivalSeedBank.com and watch the new video to understand what we're really up against. Get free bonus seeds, special quarantine reports, too. Don't wait. Every minute counts. Go to SurvivalSeedBank.com. That's SurvivalSeedBank.com.
Would you like to get back that full head of hair from years past? Now, there is Reveal. Beverly Hills celebrity dermatologist Dr. Nathan Newman took nearly a decade to develop Reveal from natural botanicals to return to a full body head of hair. Reveal for men and women with a 30-day money-back guarantee at GCNLife.com or toll-free 844-443-6637. 844-443-6637. Reveal at GCNLife.com.
Let me ask you something. What are you doing when you put money in a 401k or IRA, or store jumper cables in your vehicle, or purchase health insurance? You're preparing. You're preparing to ensure you have enough money for retirement. You're preparing for when your car battery dies, or to have assistance paying a major unexpected medical bill. That all makes sense. The same goes for building a food storage plan. You're preparing for when emergencies or disasters strike and shelves go empty at your grocery store. The best way to prepare is with My Patriot Supply. They've helped a million hardworking Americans become more self-sufficient. My Patriot Supply sells hundreds of items, including dozens of emergency food kits, at MyPatriotSupply.com. It could be an earthquake, a cyber attack freezing our banking system, or a disaster that shuts down our power grid for weeks. For all these emergencies and more, get your supplies and prepare today at MyPatriotSupply.com. No more rushing to find empty store shelves because you're too late. Do it now so you're ready. MyPatriotSupply.com.
With more people listening to radio than visit Google, Facebook, or YouTube, from the very young to the very old, everyone listens to radio. Pillow companies, alarm, identity theft, nutrition, insurance, banking, automotive, the list goes on and on. Billion-dollar businesses. Why? The answer is radio, the media everyone tunes into. Find out how effective and affordable radio can be for your business. Contact 877-996-4327 or advertise at GCNLive.com.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
So, we're talking about Rendlesham, a different point of view, the one that could be correct, that there was an experiment from the government. Randall had a question of Nick Redfern.
Yeah, I was just going to sum up then that just before the break, the idea is then that in the vicinity, there are a lot of factors that are, say, just a little too coincidental and that fit the picture to ignore the picture.
Well, yeah, that's right. I mean, a lot of mind games has gone on there in the area, you know, and places that no one's allowed in, you know, unless you've got the right clearance. It's important, you know, to sort of to put that picture together. Because, it, you know, it just hasn't been done that often. And when it has been done, you know, people have sort of said to the debunker, so to speak, well, you're just a debunker, and they've sort of slinked away. But my view is, no, you know, we've just got to keep pushing and pushing.
Well, there's nothing wrong with debunking something, so long as it is an actual debunking of something. That's just the thing. We want to know what it really is, and all debunking does is actually find a way to give us good reasons to think that that's the case. We shouldn't be afraid of that. What we've also got there, I mean, apart from everything else, is, of course, RAF Bentwaters, right? So there's a lot of military high-tech secrecy type stuff going on around there at the time. So, okay.
Well, you're right, yeah.
But then again, we might say, well, UFOs have had a historical interest in these places. They want to study what's going on there. So maybe that's just as valid, too.
Well, yeah. I mean, you can look at it both ways. There's no doubt about that. And that's and unfortunately, that happens so much in ufology, you know, that you can look at different theories and angles and say, well, you know, part of this seems to work and part of that. It's sort of like, you know, the story of Jack the Ripper. You can come up with like 10 or 15 theories as to who he was, and all of them seems to have like a vague aspect where, well, yeah, that could be right, and that one could be right as well, but clearly they can't all be correct. I have to admit, that is one of the downsides when it comes to the issue of trying to really nail it down when you are actually faced with the possibility that there could be more than one or two genuinely plausible scenarios.
Going through this, that's back to just before the break there, and when I was asking the original question on sort of the threads a person might want to pull on, and I was mentioning just, you know, that what you call chapter one, the object was hovering on legs, you know, right immediately you go, well, wait a minute. Was it hovering or was it on legs? Like, which one was it? It can't be both, right? So maybe let's just start unraveling some of these threads like that and see where they lead us.
Well, yeah, I mean, this sort of touches on one of the sort of more controversial aspects of the story, namely the use and sort of deployment, if that's the right term, of sort of like sophisticated hologram technology, you know, essentially ensuring or doing their utmost to ensure that people can really be fooled by something that appears to be right in front of them, that seems to be hovering in front of them, that possibly even looks like it's touching down to the ground. But it's a hologram. It's not really there, but it presents itself as being there. And I think where things really get problematic is when you have the guys who were there who are absolutely sure of what they were seeing was some sort of otherworldly craft or, you know, something that was, well, at least something they'd never seen before, not realizing that the whole situation is essentially there to see how all of those guys would respond, you know, to the situation they were suddenly plunged into in the night of December 28th and spilling over into the following day and just having their minds blown, you know, because of what they saw, but not realizing that what they saw wasn't a physical thing, so to speak. And if you think about it, most people, if they saw something like them in the woods, their first thought, because it was so advanced and sophisticated, it wouldn't be, oh, it's a hologram. They would think it really was a genuine craft. That's why the primary characters in the story, Jim Peniston, John Burroughs, Charles Holt, and all the other guys, that's why I don't think, you know, they were exaggerating. I don't believe they were lying at all. But I do believe they were deceived by what they thought they were seeing. This kind of ties in with another aspect of the story as well, the deployment of what was referred to me as low-grade hallucinogens to play with the mindset of the guys as well. You've got these two things going on at the same time to really, you know, sort of mess with the minds of the guys. They see this strange thing. For example, several of the guys reported missing time. They had problems remembering certain parts of the story. Some of them felt spaced out. You know, you put that together and you've got a very sophisticated, calculated experiment undertaken right on the fringes of two military bases where, you know, if anything went wrong, it could all be contained. But also, you know, it was the whole Christmas period when most of the people, or a lot of the people at both bases were actually, planned to take time off from being at the base because they wanted to spend time with their families because they were spending, you know, they were on the bases so long. And so in other words, there was actually just like a skeleton crew at both bases. So in other words, you want to run this operation, the best time to do it is when there's a minimum of people around. Most people who aren't at the bases are celebrating Christmas, and the ones who are at the base, well, it's just a skeleton crew anyway.
That is all so interesting. And when you were talking about the possibility of some sort of holographic technology, of course, then you're talking about possibly the use of lasers or particle technology. Mm-hmm. And I believe it was right around the same time Benowitz in the USA was having all kinds of weird sightings of these plasma, what he thought were UFOs. And still, Greg Bishop, he brought up the idea that I think it's the Starfire optical range is right across the way from him, pretty much. Well, not exactly, but certainly within range of him to be able to see any of the tests they might be doing, and that he was messed around with.
Well, yeah, and again, that's sort of 1980. You know, Benowitz was 1980, Rendlesham was 1980, Cash Landrum was 1980, and, you know, again, whether you go with the UFO angle or not, a lot of it really was revolving around sort of the manipulation of people, of humans, you know. And if you read Greg Bishop's book, Project Beta, on Benowitz, I mean, he was just sort of just used as sort of, you know, the worst guinea pig you could ever come up with in terms of how he was affected, I mean.
We've got more to come with Gene, Nick, and Randall. You're in
the Paracast.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Are you afraid to go to the mailbox because of letter after letter from the IRS? Are they stacking on more and more penalties and interest? By now, you know the problem won't go away on its own. Don't let the IRS chase you to your grave with penalties and interest and liens and levies. You need real help now. I'm Dan Pilla. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I help thousands of people solve tax problems they thought couldn't be solved. I can help you too. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com. Danpilla.com.
You've been hearing Dr. Wallach talking about 90 essential nutrients, keeping the body healthy. GCNteam.com now has Beyond Tangy Tangerine Tablets, 60 plant-derived minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, packed in a powerful tablet. But that's not it. 160,000 auric points, a knockout punch to free radicals. Call 877-878-4203 or go to GCNteam.com. That's 877-878-4203.
USA Radio News with Wendy King.
President Trump is trying to develop a coronavirus vaccine. USA Radio Network's Tim Berg has more.
Speaking at the White House, the president says he's looking to get a vaccine, hopefully, by the end of the year.
My administration cut through every piece of red tape to achieve the fastest ever by far launch of a vaccine trial for this new virus, this very vicious virus.
The president spending his weekend at Camp David. For USA Radio News, I'm Tim Berg.
The House has passed a $3 trillion HEROES Act to help deal with the economic fallout from the coronavirus.
A $3 trillion liberal wish list is not a serious proposal.
This isn't a wish list. If it's a wish list, it's for the working class people.
Senate Republicans and the White House say the bill is dead on arrival. This is USA Radio News. A senior State Department official confirms President Trump has fired the State Department internal watchdog. Inspector General Steve Linick has been removed, and Ambassador Steve Accard, a career Foreign Service officer, will be replacing him. Linick did play a role during the impeachment of President Trump over Ukraine, requesting a meeting with congressional Democrats and handing over documents related to the State Department and to Ukraine. The administration is also reportedly considering resuming U.S. funding for the World Health Organization. Sources say the United States will likely reduce future funding to match the level of China's contribution. That's roughly about $40 million. That would be down significantly from the U.S.'s previous investment in the WHO, which was about $400 million annually. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So how'd it go for Jake?
Did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
Tracy Torme, screenwriter, producer. You're listening to Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
Now, before we get back, of course, to all these individuals in the different instances, I just want to name one person, which is John Burroughs. All the physical problems he has had, he had to actually go out, get a lawyer to help him get the government to pay for his so-called injuries. What happened to him? Is that also something that was part of Rendlesham or something different?
Well, it was part of Rendlesham. In fact, John is actually quite open to the so-called secret experiment angle. You know, he actually thinks it's quite plausible. I've actually been chatting with him about it just in the last few days. So, you know, it's not sort of Nick versus the world kind of thing, you know. It's something actually quite different, and I expect a lot of more data to come out, you know, not just by me. When you've got sort of holograms, and some of the guys, you know, are exposed to these, you know, sort of low-grade hallucinogens and so on, you know, when you put all that together, and it's carefully calculated, it's Christmas time, I don't have a full staff at the bases, and you're in the woods. And bear in mind, that part of England is quite isolated little villages, and the events occurred at like 2, 3 a.m. in the morning. Hardly anybody's going to be out in Rendlesham Forest at that time of night. This angle of the guys having their minds messed around with actually sort of goes back to a place called Porton Down. And Porton Down is situated in the southwest of the UK, and it's a highly secret and contained facility where the British government carries out its research into things like chemical warfare, biological warfare, viruses, things like this. And it's very much like a combination of, in the United States, Fort Detrick and the Dugway Proving Ground. One of the reasons why I mention this is, for example, Lord Hill Norton, who was one of the most powerful people in the UK military in the 1970s, he got very interested after his retirement in the Rendlesham story. And he, you know, being who he was, you know, someone with a lot of clout and a lot of influence, he went looking for the answers to Rendlesham. And in doing so, he found there was a connection between Porton Down and Rendlesham. But when he first started looking into it, he wasn't sure what the connection was, just that there was. The further he looked into it, he came to uncover data that suggested that it was from Porton Down where these carefully positioned devices that would release the hallucinogens into the woods was done by scientists from Porton Down. Now, people might say, you know, well, but people from scientists from Porton Down aren't going to, you know, in the middle of the night in the woods release, you know, hallucinogens into the forest and affect their own personnel, surely. Well, there actually is a genuine, provable case where that exactly happened. It was in 1964 in Forestland, interestingly enough, not too far from Porton Down itself, where a contingent of UK Marines were asked to take part in an experiment, but they weren't told what kind of experiment it was. They were just told it's going to take place in the woods, nearby woods. When they got out there, they didn't realize that they'd been dosed with LSD. And the event itself was filmed by the government, and that film has now been declassified through the terms of the Freedom of Information Act. If you Google LSD, Porton Down, 1964, British Army, it'll take you to a number of leads and threads, but it'll also take you on YouTube, which is the original film footage secretly taken by Porton Down scientists as they filmed these young guys who are 19, 20, 21 in the woods, and suddenly things start to go weird for them. One of them, the most graphic memory, if you like, is this guy who looks on his face where he's about to have a full-blown panic attack, and this female nurse is holding his hand trying to calm him down. So when people say the British government doesn't test, you know, hallucinogens on its own personnel in the woods, it does, and it did. And
yeah, it did.
And I mean, that's a fact. There's no hearsay to that.
You can see that. So the one guy was having a bad trip, all right, but most of the other guys, they, like quite a few of them were just kind of laughing, and a couple of them were climbing trees. They kind of gave up on the whole war thing altogether. It was pretty funny, actually, in retrospect. I mean, maybe not the nicest thing to pull on unsuspecting people to dose them.
Well, yeah, the important thing to note is that although the experiments in 1964 just outside of Porton Down was with LSD, what Hill Norton found out was that it was hallucinogens, but it was not LSD that was used in Rendlesham Forest, as it was told to him at least. And what was told to him, it was sort of like a low-grade hallucinogen that sent the guys into like a weirded out state, but not kind of like presented in 1964 when it was full blown LSD and they just couldn't function and were rolling around on the ground and laughing, you know. Just the fact that someone like Lord Hill Norton not only went pursuing this aspect of the Rendlesham controversy, but actually uncovered sort of insider sourcer data, you know, in relation to this adds sort of another level to the story as well.
Indeed. I think also we could look at a lot of ancient astronaut theories this way when you get into the mythology and such, and perhaps even Nazca lines and such. You find that there are hallucinogenic properties in the rituals that they used, and then you get out of that these tales that sound a lot like alien visitation.
Well, I mean, if you look throughout the history of, you know, hallucinogenics, mind-altering substances, I mean, you know, the shaman in the local village in, you know, somewhere in South America, you know, a very revered kind of person. And I mean, if you look at so many religious experiences. You know, they go out into desert locations and commune with the gods, and it's very much an altered state, you know. We're not talking about just getting stoned, but it's sort of more along the lines of meditating and putting your mind into that sort of, you know, relaxed state. And there's not much difference between that and, say, the 1950s contactees and the Space Brothers, you know, going out to the deserts, you know, for California and Giant Rock and communing with the aliens at 2 a.m., you know, at George Van Tassel. There's not much difference between that and Moses going out to get the Ten Commandments. That might sort of upset some people, but the fact is, you know, the mirror images really are there.
Definitely. I mean, we could expand this right out to pretty much all areas of the paranormal, especially when it comes to psychic phenomena. Even people who think that perhaps they've gone through a rift in time or something like that, because when people are under the influence of those types of chemicals, time is completely altered. I mean, missing time, the whole, I mean, really, the key fits so many doors, it's pretty hard to just dismiss it out of hand.
Well, you're right. And I think, you know, one thing that a lot of people don't necessarily focus on too much is the issue of perception. It's not always just about the case. It's also about the mindset of the person when they saw the craft or they saw the entity or they were taken on beyond the, you know, onto the UFO or whatever. So I think perception is a vital aspect of all UFO events, or actually anything that's kind of unforeseen and has paranormal overtones, you know, kind of like somebody sees a Loch Ness monster, somebody sees a Bigfoot, you know, so many people just ask the witnesses, well, what did you see? What did it look like? What did it smell like? How tall was it? You know, questions that should also be asked are along the lines of, how did you feel, you know, what were your perceptions of it, and how did it affect you?
We've got more to come with Nick, Gene, and Randall. You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
Do you feel like many of us? All the distractions in the world taking our minds and focus off what really needs to get done day to day? Well, Jeunesse has a dietary supplement called Mind to help with mental distraction, and it supports memory function. Go to GCNlife.com now to check it out. You're only at your best when your mind is at its best. Go to GCNlife.com or call toll-free 844-443-6637. That's GCNlife.com or 844-443-6637.
Maybe not today, maybe not tomorrow, but soon you'll need a plan and place to survive. Forget bunkers. You're not a live-underground gopher. You need Survivalist Camps, the ultimate fully functional, off-the-grid mobile survival bug-out house that's well-equipped and custom-built to outlast any other RV or trailer. Bold statement? You bet. See them now at survivalistcamps.com. That's survivalistcamps.com. Trust your family's survival to survivalistcamps.com.
I'm here with Scott Yusium, founder of OMG Tax. Tell us how your company helps our listeners out there who have a problem with the IRS.
My team of lawyers, enrolled agents, and licensed tax experts remove wage garnishments sometimes in the same day. We even have reduced the total debt some of our clients were required to pay through what is known as an offer in compromise.
Can you give us an example of somebody you help?
Oh, can I ever? We have taken a $500,000 liability with the IRS. Guess what? The client didn't pay a dime through the representation known as non-collectible status with the government.
If you owe the IRS more than $10,000 and you want to see if it's possible to pay a lot less, call OMG Tax right now for a free tax-saving consultation.
Call 800-486-8112. 800-486-8112. 800-486-8112. That's 800-486-8112.
Stop aging now. Restore those joints. Boost your strength. Because it's official. NutriMedical has released the most exciting, powerful anti-aging supplement on the market. Dr. Bill Deagle's Red Deer Velvet DR has been approved by the U.S. Patent Office. Imagine stem cell rejuvenation all in one capsule without huge expense. Dr. Bill MD discovered that as an unborn baby grows in the mother's womb, he or she does not deteriorate or physically age. Red Deer Velvet DR, like the uterus, provides 300 biomolecules and 6 hormones protected in one special DR capsule that delivers lipid packages directly into your circulation. This patented technology bypasses the stomach and is released into the small bowel unaltered by digestive enzymes and stomach acid. Remember, Red Deer Velvet DR. Improve endurance, stimulate your immune system, increase learning ability, and even improve sexual libido with Red Deer Velvet DR. Click NutriMedical.com. That's NutriMedical.com. Or call toll-free 888-212-8871 and get on the road to a newer, rejuvenated, happier you.
This is Leslie Kane, and I'm with the Coalition for Freedom of Information, and you are listening to the Paracast.
It always affects me pleasantly when Nick Redfern's on the show because he always has such great stuff to offer and some fascinating ideas to think about. Go ahead, Nick.
Well, yeah, like I said before the break, you know, we're talking about perceptions, not just the events, but how they affected the person who actually saw the entity or the creature or the craft. I think more time and effort needs to be applied to that aspect as well. And I think the people who run these kind of programs, they are extremely skilled when it comes to handling these kind of programs. You know, it's not just done to see how the technology works, but it's also done to see how the mind can be radically and rapidly changed. And I guess more than anything else, what opposing sides on the battlefield want is unforeseen situations for the other side. They've got everything planned out, and then everything goes to hell because suddenly there are these images in the sky, you know, that kind of thing. So I think a lot of effort goes into these programs. As we sort of mentioned earlier, they have the perfect situation where they can use a real phenomenon, UFOs, as a cover story. You launch this secret experiment. Yes, you want to find out how minds can be altered and changed, but you use it under a UFO motif. And when people go looking, they really think it is UFOs. So it's sort of a really brilliant way to achieve an astounding experiment, and everybody thinks it's aliens. You know, it's sort of the perfect camouflage, the perfect cover.
It does kind of imply, though, that there's a major cooperative effort on the part of more than, say, just the people who are experimenting with these substances. For example, it was, I think, 2015. We have Charles Hult, right? So he's one of the main witnesses. And he says that he has confirmation from Bentwaters radar operators that they saw an object go across their radar scope in 2 or 3 seconds at thousands of miles an hour, come back onto their scopes, stop near the tower, and disappear into the Rendlesham Forest. If that's the case, then these radar people are also being spoofed, or are they in on it? Or, I mean, at what point do we go that, look, this conspiracy has to be so large that it can't possibly be a conspiracy anymore?
Well, I actually talk about the issue of sort of fake radar, if you like, in the book. And this goes back to the 1950s and 60s, and a guy named Jean Potiat. And Jean Potiat, if you look his name up, you know, he was somebody with significant ties to, you know, advanced technology programs and the intelligence community. And he came up with this ingenious technology that would allow for radar screens to actually portray and present imagery that actually wasn't there. And the plan really was to sort of confuse the Russians. You know, the Russians would be tracking things that actually weren't there at all. And it would allow potentially for us to, you know, sort of sneak in when they're trying to figure out what are all these, you know, these figures on the screen coming up. So I talk about that in the book. And Potiat was known for this sort of new technology that allows for sort of ghost images on radar screens, which when literally nothing was there. So, you know, there are reasons and means and whys as to how the radar aspect could be fabricated as well to create, again, in the mind of the personnel that this really was craft in the sky, not realizing it was something like a post-Potiat experiment.
That's really interesting because one of the ideas for this Nimitz encounter, the Tic Tac UFO case, is that that is exactly what was going on there as well, with some sort of radar spoofing in combination with some kind of holographic technology. I know that when I brought that up, I got some blowback for that. And yet I looked into it further. And like you say, that technology does exist. And it turns out that the Navy has been investing heavily in it. So you could have radar operators that are out of the loop, I suppose, and don't know that this is going on and think it's real. But then who up the chain is the one in all of this who knows what's really going on? Have you been able to figure out sort of the primary office or department that would be responsible for coordinating all this?
Well, yeah, I mean, that's a good point because people, you know, have legitimately asked since the book came out, you know, well, who actually ran the experiment? You know, we're talking about a UK base which was essentially like leased out to the US contingent at Bentwaters and Woodbridge, and you've got American personnel on UK soil. And Porton Down, which was a significant part of the story, was at least, you know, involved. So that part of the story is UK-based. However, and I think Ralph Noyes came to that same conclusion that part of it was done via the UK because he seemed to know so much about it. In saying that, though, when you come to the hologram aspect of it, portions of it, at least, go back towards sort of US scientists and personnel. So it may well have been sort of like an Anglo-American experiment. And because the UK and the US are friends, there have been sort of UK-US experiments and programs that have gone on for years, you know, particularly during the Second World War and so forth. So I think we're looking at a combination of agencies involving the two nations.
And some serious black money, by the sounds of it, as well.
Well, yeah, because, I mean, things like this, one of the reasons, the hows and whys as to it stayed hidden. Everybody knows about the case, but the reason we haven't got the answers is because it's been buried so deeply, and there's this sort of issue of plausible denial. There's no files, there's no data for any of the theories, really, you know, apart from the Holt memo, apart from that and the audio tape that Colonel Holt also took. Beyond that, surely there's got to be reams of documents somewhere that document what happened and also how successful or not the operation was. In other words, I think they're extremely careful as to what's put down in paper versus how much is just discussed in a room and talked about what happened and how it worked, you know. Maybe there aren't always files, you know. They do it very carefully and talk about it. When you look at it like that, it does get hard to find the documentation and the hard evidence that would give us that answer that, you know, was it this ABC agency or was it this ABC agency? Who was working it, you know? Was it run from the US but handled by the UK, or was it the other way around, you know?
Quickly here, and this opens up another can of worms. So we have Nick Pope, the guy who was with the Ministry of Defense. He handled the UFO disc. He wrote about the subject. He's been on here, and I can certainly have no specific reason to deny or doubt what he says. But obviously there are things he knows he can't say because of security clearances. He admits that. I can't tell you everything I know, but that doesn't necessarily convey anything except one thing, which is, would he... Obviously, this happened before he was there in that capacity. Would he know what really happened at Rendlesham?
Well, yeah. Yeah, I mean, you're talking about Nick Pope.
Yeah. We're talking about Nick Pope here. The other Nick.
The other Nick, yeah. Well, I first met Nick in 1994, but I'd had correspondence with him as far back as 1991, and he worked in one particular UFO desk of the Ministry of Defense between 91 and 94. And when his first book came out, Open Skies, Closed Minds, people, I think, thought it was going to be presented as like a Fox Mulder kind of character. But when you look at the story of his employment there, he actually, by his own admission, never ever left the MOD building, the Ministry of Defense main building. He never left the building to go out and investigate a case.
Let's go into that in the next segment. Nick Pope, we're talking about him, and maybe he'll be back on the PowerCast in the near future. I have a lot of questions for him now. With Nick Redfern and Gene Steinberg and J. Randall Murphy, you're in
the PowerCast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
We also have swag. You know, we have all these exclusive PowerCast things that you can buy. We've got, like, I guess 60 or so different items. And entails T-shirts, sleeves for notebook computers, iPad cases, mouse pads, the PowerCast jumbo tote bag, all sorts of T-shirts and jackets and stuff like that for men and women. We have a PowerCast aluminum water bottle. All this stuff, you go to store.thepowercast.com, store.thepowercast.com. What makes it special is that the items are the best quality, you know, great T-shirts, fabrics, and they have our official logo on them. That's what makes them special, and multiple sizes and colors. We even have stuff for children, stuff for women, stuff for men. We have all sorts of sizes, like small up to X large. A lot of good stuff. That's the swag from the PowerCast. You go to store.thepowercast.com, stop by, and take a shopping tour.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Extendovite really works. Here are some reviews from Amazon.com. John Hess, 5 out of 5 stars. Awesome. Probably my only review, but at age 40, I was getting bad heart throb and left arm pain, mainly before bed. I even stopped smoking and drinking sodas for a month, and that didn't work. After one day of taking Extendivite, it was gone and hasn't returned in 3 years. I've ordered Extendivite 13 times, so Amazon just said. Juliet Hordick. I've ordered this product before in liquid form. It is fantastic. My whole family's been on it. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extend.